Hello and welcome to Podcast on Fire. Yeah, we're no number on the new. They'll enter the feed eventually. We could just say it is November 10th on a chilly Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
Chilly yeah. On the willies.
That's on the ass.
So, I am your host, Stuart Sutherland, and joining me we have Andy.
Okay. Hello.
Is that you finishing my sentence?
Yeah.
As I would like my full name read out at the beginning of each episode.
Yeah, fuck you, you get shit so long, why don't I get Walker?
Because they don't need to know you yet.
Oh, fuck you then. Hang up.
So, yes, you are tuned in to Podcast on Fire, part of the Podcast on Fire network, which could be found at podcastonfire.com. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/POF network. You could hit us up on Twitter with it's just at Podcast on Fire. That's more or less my personal feed, and obviously site announcements get funneled through Facebook onto there. What else could I mention? You could rate us on iTunes if anyone still uses it, and of course Stitcher Radio. That's stitcherradio.com. You've got the apps for the phone, for the iPad, the Android. You could tune in to any of our shows via Stitcher Radio. And I think that's it. Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. There's not 100 websites to plug today.
Yeah.
So, today we will be discussing, well, shit's going to get Caucasian in here. We're going to talk about Taken 2, Paranormal Activity 4, do a quick trailer roundup, and maybe throw a little Asian in at the end.
What's their name?
It's Wuma. No. So, Taken 2, what was your overall thought?
It could have been better.
Yeah, like, I think that might be the overall opinion for Obdi on it, because, like, Taken was like would you say it was like a sleeper hit? It wasn't like...
Aye, it wasn't built to be a big film, but it made it.
Aye, it was like, when you start seeing the trailers, like, oh, this might be pretty badass, because it's like that conversation over the phone saying, like, I have a certain set of skills, I could find you and I could hurt you, and this, that, and it's like, and then the person on the phone is like, I'd like to see you try.
Aye.
And it's like, oh shit, something's going to happen to that guy. And what you seen was like not what you expected. Like, I didn't expect somebody getting... Did they not get like needles, like nails in the leg, and they're getting...
No, did they not go under the fingernails? And they got electrocuted under the fingernails or something? Or am I thinking something else?
It could be, I think you're thinking something else, because I'm positive you like... I was like nails in the leg, and then he put the clips on them to the car battery and just left it to fry. And basically that dude is like the centre point for this film. It was like, after he got killed, it's like the dad seeking revenge on Liam Neeson and family.
Wait. Yeah, the spoiler alert first.
Well, that's like the plot, really.
Make sure everybody comes down and listens if you've not seen it.
Yeah, obviously it's still fairly new, but what... The fact that they get taken, is that really a spoiler?
I suppose not.
Like, the name of the film is like, shit, what's going to happen in this?
Yeah.
Like, I think the spoiler rule goes for, like, if it's in the trailer, it's fair game.
I suppose,
aye. Because, and that's it, it's Liam Neeson on the phone. Like, I did find that bit quite accommodating, like, when he's held at gunpoint with his wife, they allowed him to make a cell phone call.
It's like, to warn the daughter that that's fucking old.
Exactly. Like, they all stopped. It's like, it's not like you fucking get held at gunpoint. It's like, 1 second, I'm just phoning the police. Wait. Hello? Yes? I believe I'm about to be taken. Mm-hmm. Yes, Istanbul. Yes. Back alley. It's like, no, it's like, the guy pulls out a phone, like, cap. Drop. Like, no, don't, next time, don't let your fucking enemy be so accommodating.
shoot him in the hand if he tries to lift the phone.
Exactly, like, you always see those films where, like, they do, like, they're holding each other gunpoint and they're mid-sentence and they just shoot them and it's like the shot, like they're, you're like waiting for them to finish the sentence and then maybe shoot. Yeah. You should be in the middle of his conversation and then just get shot.
Yeah.
Like, he's too busy, he's on the phone, he's like saying, right, if you go into the cupboard, like this, that, and the next thing, do this, that, that.
Aye, why does the other guy not just pick up her phone and say, she's in the cupboard?
Aye, exactly. Oh.
That would make the phone so much easier.
Aye. Like, he's standing, he's got his phone at his hip and he's just sending a text message saying, Dad's room, cupboard. Open both doors. So, but it was, I liked, well, obviously the big thing about this as well is the fact that it was a 12A.
Aye.
So it's like, the film has been diluted.
Yeah, that's the main problem for me. Why did it do it?
It's purely money. Like, this film done huge. I will try and look up the difference, like, the takings between... yes, the takings for Taken.
That's the thing. They at 12 is going to ken who Liam Neeson is.
Yeah, but it could just be, that's the guy that fucks people up. They're not going to think, that's the guy with the giant Irish cock.
Oh, was the one who started that. Talking about a big man, a big fucking dick.
So, the first one was a 15.
Oh, I thought it was an 18.
No, unless they done a higher rated DVD, but I don't think they do that nowadays.
They better be it for this one.
Let's see. Opening weekend. Well, okay. UK opening weekend only made $1 million. In the United States, Taken took $24 million.
Mm-hmm.
And when this one, the sequel, came out, it opening weekend $49 million.
What, in America or here?
In America, so it doubled.
Doubled its thing.
And that could possibly be, like, it's had 4 years, like, everyone's circulated the DVD and seen how, like, badass the film is. And the fact now that it's mostly, like, if I was younger, I would have probably seen, like, Taken 2, like, I've always, like, told sort of, like, me and Mike's watched Pulp Fiction when it was on TV, and, like, like the film's rated 18 and you're, like, 12 or something.
Yeah.
And you get a kick out of watching really violent films when you're young, so this is probably that thing. And now, 4 years later, they're actually, maybe they're not 15 yet, but they're well over 12. Like, they're old enough to actually go and see the sequel.
Yeah.
So it could just be, like, that. And I guess it's now approachable for families if it's a 12.
I suppose.
It has the same...
To see it.
Yeah, it's got the same rating as, like, Harry Potter.
That's unbelievable.
It's like, that final Harry Potter film, like, they should have just got guns. No one would have mattered. Like, some hand-to-hand combat and guns.
As long as they show blood, it's fine.
Yeah. And, like, you could say, I think you could say fuck once. Like, if we're going for, like, Skyfall, like, Judi Dench dropping the F-bomb.
Yeah. No,
that...
shit.
No, she says, I really fucked this up, didn't I? That's when I said... Oh, I was just about to go into spoiler territory.
Oh, you motherfucker.
It was when they were hiding in the Batcave and getting, like, help from Iron Man, and she says, I've really fucked this up, haven't I? And then, like, Sherlock Holmes came in, and they thought, let's go. Aye. Spoiler.
Yeah. They watch out for them, that's bad.
That's my home movie.
Oh,
it's just like a set up iPhone with action figures coming in. Don't ask me why. I've got a Robert Downey Jr., an Iron Man, and Judi Dench.
She's locked up in your cupboard, though.
It's just. I'm just thinking if anyone else has those action figures, it would be very wrong.
Yeah. Judi Dench action figure.
Yeah. Being double teamed by Iron Man and Sherlock Holmes.
Watson's just covered in his eyes.
Bond's crying.
Aye.
Hugh wishes he had all the gadgets.
So, his memory.
Aye, that's a handgun. So, then, well, I was going to say the interesting twist on Taken 2 is, like, Well, what we've seen in the trailer is the fact that Liam Neeson and his ex-wife get taken.
Yeah.
And, like, he's phoning his daughter saying, right, like, you're needing to fucking pick up your shit and, like, find me.
No, which... it said no to start with, but then she said, I'm gonna do it, so just tell me.
All right, then, aye, then he gave her, like, the quick boot camp on, right, do this, do that. And it is impressive, like, the way that... Who the fuck would come up with that?
Tie my pen to my shoelace and make a circle on a map.
Aye, working out all these circumference things, and then it goes rogue and saying, right, like, open the window and do X.
Aye.
And like, wait, what? And you're just thinking, like, that's...
Why?
Yeah. And it's just... The guy's almost like a Terminator. It's just the way he thinks all these things. It's like he's like the crazy genius.
Yeah,
that
tactical genius.
Aye. So like it does. I think it has its good points and its bad points. Like this one, all of a sudden feels. I don't know. Like I think I might actually be able to buy a soundtrack for Taken 2. Like there seems to be a lot of commercial like popular songs. Yeah. Playing during Taken 2.
The Internet Explorer.
Aye, the Bing advert, like the music from that one, the Which Way Right, Which Way Wrong song. And there's that, like I nipped it to take a piss during the film, and when I was coming back in, like the music playing, I've heard that music from another film, and...
Oh, I can't mind what song was on.
It's just like a wee beat, like just a... You can't describe fucking music. It's just like this. Just aye, but it's like I'm pretty sure the first soundtrack maybe didn't have like music to it.
Yeah, because that means.
Nah, I think it was just like your maybe like a score, just like cold, angry orchestra music as he's torturing people and shit along those lines.
Yeah,
but Yeah, it was, like, still a decent action film. Like, I think this time, rather than being violent, they're just getting really physical. Like, a lot of hand-to-hand combat. There's obviously bones being broken, but it's not enough to, like, burst through the clothes they're wearing. Like, lucky the guy he fights at the end's in a shell suit.
It looks like an old fucking, like, a 45-year-old ex-football player. He's never given up. He's fucking hope of playing again.
Mm-hmm. But he's also like fucking wicked smart at martial arts.
Yeah.
Now let's get some hand to hand combat going.
Yeah, because all the Turkish folk are known for their hand to hand combat.
So that's the main points on it. What else could we say without giving away too much?
Can we discuss the poor way he killed the main bad guy?
Possibly. This could be like your spoiler territory.
Yeah.
Like maybe skip past the next minute. Could almost be convinced in the sense that it was almost like a kung fu move. Like we were watching clips of King Boxer. And that was Lo Lei doing, like, the palm action. Maybe just, like, iron palm to the face.
Where was the sirens?
There was no, like, no wailing cat siren. And there was no red light flashed upon his palms.
Yeah.
But it was just this bitch punch. Like you
Like you covered his mouth and it was over.
Well, like, no, you can how he died. It's just you got pushed onto the hook.
What hook?
It was like these, like, funnily sharp coat hangers because I was in the wee sauna thing. So there was like a wee metal peg, and he just grabbed his face and pushed his head into the peg.
You just blew my mind. I did not see any hook. I thought he just like went and covered his mouth and he just died of fear.
And he just died, no.
That was like the main hatred of that whole film for me.
No, he just grabbed them by the face, pushed them against the wall, and I think with it being a 12, they just had to like quickly like just not show you the violence, but kind of just let you know what just happened.
And that's why
he just kind of, his eyes went big and he just kind of exhaled. His brain just got punctured.
I thought it was just because like, Liam Neeson was playing with his dick just before that take. And it had a massive dick smell on his hands.
Oh, God.
And he covered his nose. His brain malfunctioned.
Okay, so that is more or less what we can really talk about Taken 2 at this time. Because I guess if we are watching recent films, we can't divulge too much.
Too much, yeah.
But it is kind of a worthy sequel. Like, it's not outright bad. Like, they've done what they can with it being a 12.
Yeah, they've done well for it being a 12.
Aye, like, stuff's still violent. Like, people get thrown into, like, fucking iron beams and jump and get caught on cable.
Oh, that was a piece.
There's still quite a lot of, like, you could still get quite a lot of decent violence out of a 12.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the pathway for most things. Like, the Total Recall remake was a 12A.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing, I think the only thing they censored in that was, like, the three-titted alien whore.
And that's why I'm not watching it. You've ruined the whole...
The lack of tits.
Right.
The lack of three tits.
There has to be three tits in the Total Recall.
Well, you get three cleavages. Like, you get... Like, two cleavages, I guess, would be the term. Two clivages.
Clivages.
Yes.
Yeah. That's not good enough for me. I need nipple.
I was going to say, if you like your stuff softcore, but that's not even soft. That's like, if you like your stuff cored.
All right. If you like to watch your stuff, you're grand.
Oh. I noticed an ad in the back of the newspaper the other day. I was flicking through it, and it brought, like, of course, like, when you get too close to the sports section, there's always the middle ground of the fucking telephone ads. And there was one, and it was like, it was an old woman waving a finger, and it says, "Bossy Grandma."
Oh, no.
36 pence a minute, phone up Bossy Grandma. And I was like, Jesus. I know, and that's what I thought. I said, what if some people phone up just sort of like for counselling?
Yeah.
I just miss my gran so much. Just tell me to clean my room. Tell me tea's ready. I just miss my gran.
That's very morbid, that is.
You think they've had that. It's like they phone up just so they could talk to a gran. It says, do you know what I know what colour tights I'm wearing? You know what I know what naughty lingerie I'm knitting?
Oh.
So, on that really awkward note, Paranormal Activity 4.
Yeah.
When you thought it was over after watching the first film, no. they got bloodthirsty for money.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so this time, obviously, this is pulled back into the future. This is more or less a true sequel to number 2.
I depend how they meant it run. Right, no, it's like 3 is the first one.
3 would be the prequel, because it's the story of the two girls growing up.
And the timeline,
aye. Aye, in this timeline. Then it would be Paranormal Activity 1, because it would be the... See... I've never properly watched 2. I've only seen parts of 2.
No, I think 2's a bit where you kind of, in the first one, she says that her sister had a lot of problems when she was younger.
Right.
And then it all started happening with her. The second one is where it was all happening to her sister and how it got to be with her for the first one. It's like they'd done this ritual at the end of the first, the second one, which made the demon move to the other sister.
Right.
It was to save the... Supposedly to save their lordy, but then it didn't matter anyway.
Yeah. So, aye. And then, aye, obviously we've got 3. So you think it's 3, 2, 1, then 4?
3, 2, 1, then back to 2. And then 4.
Oh, fuck off. That's like Inferno Affairs 3. where, like, it's 6 months before and 6 months after Inferno Affairs 1.
No, it's just that the very bit at the very end of the second one where, like, the dad's sitting watching the telly and then she turns up and just, like, lifts him up and snaps his neck and throws him away.
Yeah. And this one is... Aye, I've got the plot in front of me where it says it has been 5 years since the disappearance of Katie and Hunter, and a suburban family witnessed strange events in their neighbourhood when a woman and a mysterious child move in. So, this is, like, that was the woman and child that left at the end of the second one.
Aye.
And this is them just showing
up. The one with the big tits.
The one with the big tits. I would argue that point, as the mother in the fourth film seemed to have had quite a big rack herself.
What the heck?
Like, the whole suspense about this levitating knife, and it's like...
Oh, that was you there.
She's going to get punctured any second.
I'm getting chopped up.
It's either that or fights back against the ghost. Like, the knife drops and just bounces. Bounces off it and hits the screen. Going, ha! Paranormal Activity, my tits! Ha ha ha! And then just continues to chop peppers.
Yeah.
But... I guess we could all... Well, what would be our spoiler territory here? Because... There's, well...
Member of the family being someone else.
Aye, well, we just need to... Aye, let's just do the trailer method. Like, yes, spooky shit happens, but...
As usual, we expect it.
Aye, all the shit you see in the trailer, like, the lassie getting pulled off her bed, The child's being creepy.
Oh, I
loved how, like, the audience just laughed at the one moment where the child was talking to, like, the girl's boyfriend, saying, he doesn't like you. Says, what do you mean? Who doesn't like me? Like, you'll find out.
What the fuck?
I would be cry chopping the child right there.
Like, tell me who it is, I'll go fucking murder you.
It's like, is it you? Chop! Is it? Where is it? Just start beating up the child. Tell me where they are!
Just go taking one on them and just tie him to a chair and put nails in his knees. Tell me.
It'll be a very 12 version where it's just like clothes pegs are being attached on his legs. It's like, yeah, I'll keep pinching your skin. Now tell me who doesn't like me. I'm a really nice guy.
Yeah, just a big porn doll. Yeah, fuck the lassie. And a pervert.
Yes. So, but there isn't much story to a Paranormal Activity film.
No.
Like, say, it's 28... It's... Wait. Huh? Say, it's 28 minutes long.
The film's no 28 minutes long.
1 hour 28, I should say. it may as well be 28 minutes long with the amount of suspense scenes of something's gonna happen. Oh wait, no, it's just a cat.
You basically only see 28 minutes because you got your horns there with your eyes for the other hour.
Yeah. The other half's like waving the pish off the seat. It's like, this is not me. And I like that moment when we're sitting there watching the film and it's like the guy rule of, like, sitting in a cinema, there must be a chair between us. And the middle chair just closes. Whilst we're sitting watching, like, an intense moment, and then the chair just folds up beside us, like... Yeah. Are we... Like, that's just the ghosts of the cinema taking the piss out of us.
I was lucky I never had a knife, I would have just slit my throat. It's just suicide right there.
Like, oh, no. What you mean? You're just like holding in a bowel movement that moves out. Fucking just lay out a backdraft.
No, the seat's doing behind us.
Aye, all the other chairs all fold up. It's a ghost fucking running for its life.
Oh.
It's basically been smacked in the mouth. But. Yeah, there's not really much you could say about paranormal film, one of these films, because...
They're all basically the same kind of story.
Yeah, like...
Starts off small and then it gets worse towards the end.
Mm-hmm. And that's when stuff happens that you can't talk about.
Yeah.
So, as I guess the only difference is, like, I think they're just going to run out of ways to film these events. Like, the first one, you had your static camera in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And the guy would occasionally pick up the camera and walk about the house with it. Mm. And the second one, it was
security
camera footage. Third one, it's like old school film cameras, and like they were inventive in the idea where they used like the fan base and just
that was good, that was cool.
Taped the camera to it, and it had this suspense because it would move that slowly.
Yeah.
And you hear noises off camera, and you're just waiting for the camera just to quickly catch up and see what's around the corner, and then notice everything in the kitchen is missing. And then this one, it's more or less kind of like a security camera thing, but they've hacked like every PC in the house.
Yeah.
So
family's got like fucking 5 laptops. It doesn't make sense.
I reckon with a house that big, maybe they are like an Apple family. Like they are. Like the dad was like fucking the second hand man to Steve Jobs.
Oh.
Like, maybe that could explain why they have a giant fuck off mansion and an abundance of Apple products.
Yeah.
A Microsoft Kinect.
Yeah, it make no sense.
Yeah, but like I guess that's only there for that sole reason of having like the cool night vision effect with the infrared beams covering the house.
One thing: why do they get called infrared beams when they're green?
Well, it would be infrared in the sense that if you blew smoke in front of your Kinect whilst it was on, you should see the red lights.
Oh, maybe.
So I think it is infrared to us.
Okay, but when I think.
You want me to edit that bit out?
No, I'll take a mock in for it.
So, like, when the night vision kicks in, I think that's why it just everything's green, regardless.
Yeah.
It's just like this strobe light. So, I kind of thought I'm not too sure how well it worked, because I guess that they would have to have additional angles so you could see it work. Like, obviously, when you put your hand in front of an infrared beam, the beam stops at your hand, so everything past your hand, like, you should have, like, a shadow print on the wall, like the wall, puppets.
Yeah.
So I kept, like, when you see the ghost walking and it picks up on infrared beams, yes, there's the notable little CGI green dot child moving, but it's not like there's no shadow behind it. Like, I thought it would stand out a little bit more than when it was picked up on infrared, rather than, like, a big whoosh effect behind it.
No, it was the bit where they were all chasing after it.
That was the part I never... Like, that was like a blink and you miss it moment. So I never properly caught on that one.
Because to start with, I thought it was just the blonde-haired bloody running in front. But then the mum flicked the lights on, and the two of them ran around the corner.
And it was for, like, a brief second, like, they're chasing the ghost.
Yeah. Aye. Like, playing.
Yeah. So. But, like, that... I was going to say, that shit's confusing in the sense, like, who is, like, the bad guy here? Is it, like, the possessed woman and child, or, like, who are these ghosts? Are these the ghosts that's following the woman and child, or is the ghost left the woman into the house?
It's because, like, in the first film, it's, like, a big bastard and demon.
Yeah.
You get this big, giant feet prints and shit like that. And then in this film, it's a small child ghost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I reckon if it is just in the sense, like, it's a spirit, it'll just turn into a child-friendly image just so the child...
manifest into whatever it wants to.
Aye, it's not like it's Kane. Like a fucking 6-foot man with a mask and red tights. Like, I don't think the child would want to play Tig with Kane, whereas if it's a little spirit that just roughly looks like the same as them.
No, the wee bit at the start where they were playing that Kinect boxing.
Right.
It's like they were looking at the freaky avatar. They said, "Oh, is this what your friend looks like?" And said, "Yeah, sometimes."
And what was that?
It was just like pure white with like bright red eyes, and like a straight line for a mouth.
Oh well, I think I'm gonna have to take Margaret and see it at some point. Like, she's always like, she loves silly shit like this.
Fuck you! I like it. They call me silly.
You silly shit.
No.
So, I guess this is where we can do a little spoiler territory here. So again, maybe skip the next minute and let's see if we could recount this all in 1 minute. I'll bring a clock up. It's not going to be a giant talking point, but spoilers from now.
Right.
So yes, the after end clip we've seen. Will the fifth movie be in Spanish?
I think so. It looks like it. Being in Spanish, I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Aye.
A guy looked like he was going for a tin of beans, a woman ran out and then he legged it.
Mm-hmm. So, like, I guess this could be a possible new way to take it in the sense that...
New country.
Aye, like, they're running out of new things to do. Like, they're now up to date with technology, they've got phones, they've got, like, Apple Mac computers, Kinect, like, that is as modern as it gets. Like, they have to go into the future, the cameras next, like, they're going to have to revolutionise something to make it more refreshing. Or, we'll just take it to Spain.
Mexico.
Spain. Whatever.
It'll be Mexico, fool. And I'll just be a Mexican Blair Witch. Because I'll be going after all the brujas and everything.
Mm-hmm. So... If they go that way, well, fair enough. You've got my money again.
Mm.
So, that's our spoiler minute.
That was quick.
Yes, I'll watch the little hand go around. So, I'm going to take a quick break just now, and then we'll be back with our trailer roundup.
Yeah.
So, that's the trailer to Stoker. As you guessed, it is the American debut for Park Chan-wook. Starring Mia Wasikowska, Nicole Kidman, and Matthew Good.
Matthew Good?
Well, it's Good with an E at the end.
So Good?
Yeah, that's one or the other. And... For anyone that's not familiar with it, the plot that I've got on this YouTube page in front of me, after India's... Oh, there's a child called India.
Oh, what?
This film's immediately a write-off. after India's father's death, her Uncle Charlie, who she never knew existed, comes to live with her and her unstable mother. She comes to suspect this mysterious, charming man has an ulterior motive and becomes increasingly infatuated with him. So,
that's what it looked like for the trailer.
Mm-hmm. I think in the first trailer it shows you him seducing the mother first, like Nicole Kidman. And it sort of gives you the impression that they possibly killed the father to get him out the road so they could be together.
Right.
And then, well, this one kind of leans more to the infatuation between
the
uncle and
uncle.
But when watching it, it's like you could tell this is this is a Park Chan-wook film.
Yeah,
it's his style completely. Like just
on the borderline of taboo.
Aye, dark, violent. Those really intricate camera angles, like those shots of swinging the lamp shade back and forth, like that's clearly all up his street.
And the wee close up to the belt getting slid off,
and the blood on the flowers, and so I'm definitely interested to see it, but it's
like a confusing one, to be honest. A lot of murders look like it's going to happen, but for the trailer, you can't tell who does them.
I'm under the impression it's sort of maybe like a Leon thing, where he's taken her under him. Like maybe there isn't a romance storyline, but it's sort of like he's a serial killer, and she kind of sees the father figure in him, and kind of starts. They start killing together.
Yeah.
Because you see her, like, defending herself against, like, bullies at school, and... So, I think there could be, like, that weird middle ground where... Well, it does say that she is infatuated, so she could find herself. Yeah. Aye, definitely Park Chan-wook stuff.
Mm-hmm. Taking up the family business and murders.
Mm-hmm. And from, like, it wouldn't be a surprise to say that probably Nicole Kidman's killed off early on as well.
Yeah. She deserves it, but look, yeah.
Like, there's no point keeping an unstable mother.
Yeah.
Aye. Just put her out of her misery.
Constantly sobbing while bottling wine.
Mm-hmm. So the right thing to do is kill her with a rifle from far away.
Yeah. Nah, for the trailer, it looked like she was trying to assassinate the uncle. Just like he looks out the window in shock and then it cuts to her looking in the window with a rifle.
Mm. And it's at that angle where you could see the eye in the glass. And
yeah.
So that one is interesting.
Like The Thieves, is it The Thieves Korean trailer number 1, 2012? Official US release.
Yes, that's the one I've saved.
Yeah. I'll get it ready. Oh, it's playing! Oh no!
Just go. Alright, so, this, obviously we previously, briefly discussed this on our last episode, and basically, Korean Oceans movie.
Aye, definitely.
It seriously is.
It's like a sexier version of Ocean's 11.
An all-Asian, where they should just have one white guy, but from the looks of it, they have one Chinese.
Yeah.
So, it looks flashy enough. I think it's basically guaranteed a UK release. Like, that could be easily marketed over here.
And maybe they'll probably try and they'll sell it on the premise of Ocean's 11. It's like the Asian Ocean's 11.
Mm-hmm. It should just be the Asian 10.
Oh, I suppose.
Yeah, it might get retitled, but The Thieves is a decent enough title.
Aye, gets the point across.
Mm-hmm. But UK marketing will most likely just add Ninja onto it somewhere.
The Ninja Thieves.
Or it'll be Ninja the Thieves.
Aye.
Just something jack it, basically. But no, it definitely, there is some familiar faces popping up in that trailer, and it's obviously Simon Yam, so
no, but it's the George Clooney of the group.
Yes, that'll be the George Clooney. I don't know who half the other ones are.
No, only can Barry Mark and Brad Pitt.
Aye. Man, that cast will be shorter nowadays if Bernie Mac's gone.
Yeah.
Oh well.
There's probably half of them in jail for tax evasion as well.
And fucking Brad Pitt was last seen running from zombies.
Yeah. Oh. Strange Chanel number 5 over the show.
So, that was kind of a trailer roundup. We watched them and kind of discuss what we can discuss at this time.
Aye, do a spoil it.
So, but actually, The Thieves is a film from director Chi Dong Hun,
who
happens to be the director of Wu Chi.
Oh.
Mhm.
Damn.
Yep. That's what they call a segue.
I thought a segue was something you drove with two wheels.
We're not having this argument over words again. You say Fortnite, I say 2 weeks. Or I say bi-weekly.
Aye. But definitely do segue.
Yes. I'm sure this is known as a segue, so let's...
We'll find out the end of it.
I am not going on Wikipedia. I will not open a new window.
Wikipedia will decide our fate.
It's fucking both, okay?
I'm not believing it.
Right. Wikipedia.
Right.
Segway.
You're saying you're going on to say Wikipedia, but you're just going to say you're right.
Let's see. There is... It's two different spellings, so I think this is the way we get away with it. There is Segway, which is S-E-G-W-A-W. What? Right. No.
No.
S-E-G-W-A-Y.
Right.
Which is a two-wheeled, self-balancing, personal transport.
Right.
And then there's Segway, which is S-E-G-U-E, a smooth transition from one topic to another, which we've butchered with this fucking side topic of Segway.
That's what I still don't even believe it.
This smooth transition fucking crashed and burned 2 minutes back.
Yeah.
Segway is also a small town in Mali.
Oh,
Wu Qi originally came out in 2009 under the title of Jion Wu Qi, which I'm guessing is just the character's full title.
Mm-hmm.
It has been released under the titles of Jion Wu Qi, the Taoist Wizard, and of course in the UK as Wu Qi, Demon Slayer. Just to make it sound hard.
And there's no mention of demons in the whole movie.
Yes, it should really be Goblin Slayer.
Yeah.
But it's just like, this isn't Shrek, what the fuck. So the plot we have here is...
Shrek was an ogre, by the way.
I know, but you'd expect goblins. You'd expect goblins in the Shrek universe.
Oh.
Like,
hi, Rumpelstiltskin.
I would be worried if there was demons in Shrek. It's like, damn, this shit's went like 12A on us.
I know, that would be awesome. Let's get on with it. Let's get this fucking plot discussed.
Mm-hmm. There's either not enough plot or too much plot for everything I've looked up. We have the plot from play.com, which is obviously probably just taken from the back cover of the DVD.
Yeah.
And it goes like, when a dark lord obtains the secret to unimaginable power, an elite army of shape-shifting goblins threatens to destroy the world as we know it. However, just when all hope seems to be lost, a great warrior wizard named Wu Qi travels through time to fight for the future of all mankind.
That's a bad description.
It is. Like, well, there is... Like, no... Oh. I think that's just the one to convince you to buy it.
Yeah. You need detail.
You don't need to know what the film's really about.
No, we'll just tell you some shit so you buy it.
That this sounds cold, dark, and serious, where it's actually, like, entertaining and funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just read the long Wikipedia one.
Yeah, I won't fucking expect.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, 500 years ago in the Joseon Dynasty, the pipe of the prophecy has fallen into the evil hands of the goblins, propelling the world into a whirlwind of disorder. The ancient Taoist wizards turn the great aesthetics of their time, the master, and Hawadam. Is it Hawadam? Wadam?
Hawadam, I was saying Hawadam, that's how it reads anyway.
Mm-hmm. So they seek help from the great master and Hawadam to help vanquish the goblins. Other thing, the goblins, they're not really goblins. I think little, like, dwarfish green people.
Yeah.
But, that's the words they were using.
Would they ask Westerns, no?
Exactly. So, they ask for their help in vanquishing the goblins and trust each wizard with one half of the pipe. Meanwhile, the master's rascal student, Wu Qi, tricks the king into the art of this transformation and creates a fiasco which makes the three Taoist wizards and Hawadan visit the master, but they find the master murdered and half of the pipe missing. Wu Qi, framed for the murder, is punished with, along with his trusty dog Qianggui, are imprisoned in scrolls by the wizards. Cut to 2009. For some strange reason, the goblins that have for some strange reason, it makes it sound like, well,
unbelievably.
Funnily enough, they came back in modern day. Yes. And wreak havoc on the city. The three Taoist wizards now just, well, just trendier looking old men have been enjoying their retirement years as a priest, a monk, and a shaman, whilst Harodam has long disappeared with in order to polish his Taoist art. After much discussion, the three wizards unseal the scroll and call forth Wu Qi and Qiongri and begin offering freedom in return to catch the goblins. Wu Qi sets out on his task, but what begins as a hunt for goblins slowly turns Wu Qi's personal sightseeing expedition of modern day worlds. And to top it off, he meets a woman with the same face as the one that had him captivated many centuries ago.
Yeah.
Together with Song In Kyung, his new yet old love, the adventure begins. No, the film's pretty much over at that point. So, yes, it is more or less a time traveling Three Stooges movie with a wizard.
It's not as slapstick as the Three Stooges.
Yes, it's more or less the Three Towers monks.
Aye.
Are easily the three, like the Korean equivalent of the Three Stooges.
Yeah.
And Wu Qi is just a almost like a Jackie Chan character. Like lovable dope who has great power but just like
doesn't know how to use it for elaborate the proper schemes. Use.
Aye.
He wants to become famous.
Him and his man dog servant.
Yeah. Who's promised to turn human.
Yes. So, like, after all of this laughing at the plot, the film is actually surprisingly decent.
My wife enjoyed it too. She came in within 30 seconds of the start and sat and watched it with me and she enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing, it's just entertaining. Like, it probably would have been equivalent. I think it was put down as a summer blockbuster in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
It was the third best-selling film of 2009.
Aye?
It came out over the Christmas period.
Oh, right.
Aye, and it was basically, it would have went to number one in the box office, but Avatar was taken over the world at that point.
Fuck. Bass and blues.
So, yeah, it's definitely a decent enough film.
Aye, I enjoyed it.
Action, and there was a sense of humour about it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the effects are, I guess, decent for 2009.
Yeah, they were pretty good actually.
Mm-hmm. I guess, well, if you have to compare them to Avatar, but I don't think it took them 10 years to make this film.
I or spent the amount of money it took to make Avatar.
Yeah. But let's see, the lead actor, Kang Dong-won, has been known for let's see, what films actually stood out? He was in the 2005 movie The Duelist, which had a UK release. So, some of his other notable films is Secret Reunion, which was a big film in 2010, Voice of a Murderer in 2007. The main dude in that, like the bad guy in this movie, that Hawadan, or Hawadan, he was... I think he's starred in a lot more films. Like after just recently watching The Yellow Sea, he was the main bad guy in that film. And before that, he was the ex-police officer / pimp in The Chaser, the good guy.
Oh, I like that.
Mm-hmm. So it was him that like caught the killer, basically, in that film. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So like he does seem to have like that old face, like the sort of Choi Min-sik, like old look that you could just tell, like it's him in several films. He doesn't need to change his appearance. He's always just got a wee goatee and that old weary look.
Aye, he's got some like he's planning mass destruction.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I got. Even when he was supposed to be a good guy at the start, he always looked like that. He's dodgy.
Mm-hmm. Like, you would think that he's got a rabbit and a rat as accomplices.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was surprised. I had gotten this film last year when it came out, and I just kept putting it off, but the trailer does make it look pretty badass. Like, the UK trailer they done for it, I'm pretty sure it had like the cigar smoking voiceover guy basically talking about the Dark Reigns and the worlds and a great warrior wizard. And
the one thing I got for the trailer was that the bunny was the good guy.
Exactly.
And it was trying to fight the rat.
I know. Like, I thought, like, any moment Wu Chi's going to transform into his animal power and fight the evildoers.
All the way through the film, he says, it's right, it's time to change. And I was like, oh, he's got to change now. And then, like, nah, he starts fighting an evil bunny. Mm-hmm. You bet.
There is, like, these small hints where, like, obviously he is, like, this Taoist priest, in the sense that he throws out the talismans, like the yellow paper with the red writing, this like his basically throwing out spells, summoning what he needs. But when there's these points, like when he is transported into 2009, he has he doesn't have his talisman to begin with, because it's with Chongri, like his man servant, who's
his dog's man servant.
Aye, his dog man dog servant.
Horse.
slash horse who's like wrapped up in another scroll, which I had to laugh when they were saying like if he still had it, said, I think I've got in the house somewhere, and then said, oh wait, it's been sold. Like they just
I got rid of it when I moved house.
Exactly. It's like I basically thought that was them writing that character out of the movie.
Yeah,
like he basically pissed someone off and just got fired. And he says, so what happens to him? Is that we lost him whilst moving. I really thought they were just writing him out of the movie.
Yeah.
But, of course, he had, like, the talismans with him. And Wu Chi basically had to do the ultimate power of emptying his soul. Emptying the cup, becoming a hollow being, and...
A whole shell of magic.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that was giving him the power to what turned into stone from the look likes. It looked like he was
like a stone hand.
It's like we never got to see what happened. It's like he was getting close. Nah, he turned back to normal.
Yeah.
It was like he was going to turn into like Onyx, the Pokemon. Like, just big fucking stone beast.
Stone snakey beast.
Like, it was just like, just giving us the tip, essentially.
Yeah.
And we were like, come on, right, time for the full shaft. And it just never got it.
Fucking penis references. The way you go.
So, it was like on a few occasions, like, basically. When he lost his talismans at the end and he had to fight the main bad guy, and he still he had to think of emptying his soul, and he was teleporting here, there and everywhere, but it still was hinting that he was slowly going to turn into something, and it doesn't happen.
It was the bit where they had his wee enlightening moment where they made him think, they tried to make him think that it was a dream, the hell gone, the future was a dream and stuff like that.
I was about to explode if it finished like that.
Yeah. And then he remembered what his master had left on the flare.
Great wee moment.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was just like an illusion. What else could we say? We're more or less dissecting it now, I don't think. I will put spoiler at the beginning of this podcast if you haven't seen Wu Chi yet, but.
We're going into spoiler territory now.
Mm-hmm. The female lead in the film was slightly familiar with me. I couldn't quite figure out until having a quick browse online and realising she is the lead actress of I Am a Cyborg, But That's Okay. The Park Chan-wook film set inside an insane asylum.
Mm-hmm.
Or a mental house. Whatever's not
insane
the right
way. Insane asylum syndrome.
Aye. So, overall, Wu Chi, I highly recommend it. It's almost the opposite of a Korean film. It's like really straightforward, entertaining, and under 2 hours. Whereas Korean cinema typically over 2 hours, thought provoking and complicated.
It was none of those things. Anyway.
It was straightforward, easy and entertaining.
Yeah, really.
So, if you want to decide for yourself, you could find it on Netflix, where it is on there with, along with probably 90% of the CineAsia catalogue, which is very convenient if you haven't got any.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you want to be out there and own a physical copy of Wu Qi, it will be available at, I guess, any good
DVD store.
Yes, aye. That if they still exist.
Any retailer.
Mm-hmm. I was always like, any good news agent. It's like, so if your news agent hasn't got it, it's like, shit then.
Is this what
the advert's telling me? Like, any good retailer. It's like, it's a bad retailer if it doesn't have it.
Basically,
like, aye. Bullying them into buying their product. So, if you could be bothered going outside and breathing the fresh air and going to a store, there is a chance you could find it. Or, from your couch right now, you could go into Amazon and buy a second copy for like £2.
Yeah.
So, decide for yourself. And give us feedback.
Did you say die yourself?
Yes, just you.
Oh, just...
So, yes. On to next week.
Aye. On to next week.
Wait, no.
There won't be a next week because I'm dead.
Shit. I'm going back to podcasting myself.
Yeah.
But no, as I was saying originally, decide yourself and tell us what you think.
Aye.
Drop us an email at podcastonfire@googlemail.com. Write to us on our Facebook wall. All of this information should be coming up on the pre-recorded ending, which starts now.
Yeah.
We've agreed that you're not going to talk anymore. Just kill yourself.
Fuck you.
So, hopefully, that discussion will sound a lot better after being edited.
Aye.
And, yeah, that is really, like, we've discussed our Caucasians and our Asians tonight. We've shared our views of Taken 2, Paranormal Activity 4,
yeah.
Thoughts on some future films, and of course done a quick recap, or a slow, painful recap of Wu Qi. Next week, no, we were not promised them a week. Next time on Podcast on Fire, we will be discussing going back to, I think, 1996 or 1998, The Storm Riders. Yes, the original Ikon Cheng vehicle with Aaron Kwok, the big sci-fi blockbuster. Basically, it's sort of like another Wu Qi. Like, big sci-fi blockbuster. So, that you could try and call that a segue, but...
You fucking start. I'll go check Wikipedia and make sure you're not lying to me again.
I'm just talking about the small town in Maui.
Oh, right. Leave me alone.
So, yes, for all your Podcast on Fire needs, you could have a look at our website, podcastonfire.com. Find us on Facebook with... the address is facebook.com/POFN. No.
Oh, he's got it wrong.
It is facebook.com/POF network. Twat us a tweet on the Twitters at... Yeah, you've not heard all my jargon. At twitter.com/podcastonfire. Or drop us a message just at podcastonfire. And of course, feel free to rate us, berate us, fillet us on iTunes.
You dirty fuck.
Yes. You can blow on our egos on iTunes.
I'm telling Margaret.
Give us like a 5-star review and just have the review to be a smiley face with an open mouth. And yeah, Stitcher Radio, do a Google search because I always get the address wrong.
Right.
And yeah, I'm pretty sure our Stitcher account is sorted because before our RSS feeds were, I think, hijacked. And instead of saying Podcast on Fire, episode 15, it will say Free Pharmaceuticals. Mm-hmm. Or like, This Week in Sleeves was replaced with Enhancing Your Horse Cock. Well, no, actually, that might still be this week in sleaze that I think about now. Anyway, let's put a cap on this one. I've been your host, Stuart Sutherland, and joining me, we've had Andy Walker.
Yeah.
And until next time.
Yeah.
Stop saying yeah.
Yeah! That's all I can
I told you, you're not allowed to talk anymore.
Okay.
Have we forgotten this already? Yes.
The Korean Ocean's 11.
Give away your opinion already. Remember, you've not seen the trailer at this point.
Oh, right. I'm just guessing that it's the Korean Ocean's
11. Shut up!
I'm sorry. I'm new to this.